This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to what is probably the most anticipated episode of the Kona Edge. The reason being is we've been running a contest for the last almost a year. We're giving away an entry into an Ironman, and today is the day we announce the winner. So if you have entered, this is the episode that you want to be listening to, okay? We've also got one of the most incredible stories to share on the podcast today. The winner will be announced at the end of today's show, but let's chat about today's guest. And he is an absolute incredible human being, comes from a very different background. And when you think of the country India, you don't think of Ironman and triathlon. If I think India, I think from a sporting perspective, cricket. They are a cricket-mad country, almost bordering on a religion for some when it comes to cricket. But for Subramani Venkatesh, it's turned into Ironman, and phenomenal story. He's now based in the United States, but comes from an incredible background, and he'll share some of that with us today as well. So without further ado, and make sure you stick around till the end of today's podcast to find out if you're a winner. And the good news is we're running that contest again for 2017, so you can enter right now. Just head over to thekonaedge.com/win. You can get your entry in there. So long, and thank you to everyone who left us a review and a rating over the last few months. It's really helped us get in front of more people. And the truth of the matter is, the more of those ratings and reviews we get, the higher we get ranked in iTunes, and more people get to see us and find out about the Kona Edge. So if you haven't left us a review yet and you've got any value out of the podcast, please just open the Kona Edge in the podcast player on your device and just click on the subscribe button and click on the ratings and reviews. It only takes literally 5 minutes and you help us out in a big way. So without further ado, let's get straight into today's guest. This is Subramani Venkatesh. We head to Massachusetts in the United States, and we are joined by Subramani Venkatesh. Subramani, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Brad. I'm glad I could make it for this.
So I say Massachusetts, that's where home is for you right now, but you're originally from India. You've been living in the US for almost a decade now. You consider yourself, obviously, the U.S. home, but India is still a big part of where you're from and where you grew up, and it's a big part of your life still.
Yes, because I spent two-thirds of my life far in India, so I still have some Indian blood going on. I cannot completely say I am U.S. yet. And I still have an Indian citizenship. So, yes, I belong both U.S. and India right now.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but Ironman's not the biggest of sports in India. I think it plays a very smaller role compared to sports like cricket and field hockey. Where did your interest in triathlon come from?
When I first moved to States, I was still pursuing only endurance sports like running. My triathlon influence came from through a friend that I was working out doing cycling when I was not able to run because of few injuries issues that was going through. So I met few cycling friends locally in Massachusetts 4 years ago. And they sort of brought up this idea of, hey, you look so thin, you've been running, you look like a triathlete, why don't you give a shot? All right, after 1 year of giving a thought on that, I managed to put an effort to learn the swim, and there you go, all the triathlon career started for me from then.
It's incredible. Yeah. When you chat to your family and friends that you grew up with back home in India and you tell them what you're doing, what do they say?
They didn't know anything about my starting career in triathlon up until 2 years ago when I first made my debut Ironman under 10 hours, I would say. Not the debut Ironman. My first sub-10 Ironman, that's when people all started thinking, oh, this guy has some potential. So let's publish him all over on the Facebook. That's how people get to know me more.
Let's take a step back to growing up in Bangalore and your sort of life as a kid. Were you always active as a youngster?
I was very active, I would say. I spent a lot of time outdoors playing all the time, either soccer, either cricket. It's not very formal, like a soccer field, go and play like with all your gears on it. It's just typical, very informal clothings, barefoot soccer, barefoot cricket. That's how I grew up. So, but I was active throughout my life.
Were you pretty competitive as a kid? Did you hate losing?
I cannot say I'm pretty competitive when I was a kid, but I would say yes. So mostly when I want to do something, I always try to do best.
And I mean, you talk about very informal. Obviously, lifestyle is totally different to the lifestyle you have now. Looking back to the way you grew up in Bangalore, that's one of the big sort of differences. Obviously, you talk about formal sport, and yes, there is formal sport in India, but there's a massive difference between the two countries. There's obviously a lot of poverty in India, and life is very different now, isn't it?
It's very different. I would say it is like my life changed after move to US. I was one of those kid who grew up in under middle class, I would say, not middle class. I mean, I would say one slightly above poverty line, where I could manage to survive eating two meals a day very easily. That kind of life I lead. So yes, it's a big change for me moving to US. Very comfortable life. I could afford to spend on the gas that I want to much easily than compared to in India. Yes.
So you, I also read something that you had put on quite a bit of weight. You were one of the reasons you got involved in running and more cycling was to lose a little bit of weight. Tell me a little bit about that.
I was such an active person during kid. I paid a lot of attention in my bachelor's degree for education, just want to graduate and get some job. I focused so much on it, I totally forgot about my active lifestyle being playing cricket or soccer outside, and I did not know that was playing such an impact role, I mean, such a big impact in gaining weight. I thought gaining weight in India was such a healthy aspect, but that was not true. Because when I was commuting to office, which was taking all the time a public transport, I did not find that comfortable carrying extra weight on me. So I come to a conclusion that I would like to lose some weight and see how that impacts my real life. And I did not know any alternative than just running. So, like, I started running and doing moderate diet. And I also control a lot of junk food that I used to eat. Within 3 months, I saw big results of losing, like, from 80 kgs to 75 kgs. And I saw a true impact on, good impact on me overall in terms of my mindset, the way I was feeling. That encouraged me to go and pursue more and keep my running active all the time. Yes, and weight played a big role in losing my weight and keeping me active running after that.
I love it. And then you obviously mentioned the cycling, but the swimming was a big challenge to you as well. When you took it up, I also read something that you were swimming twice a day. You had really studied it hard and you knew you had to put in the hard work, and you were swimming twice a day until you became proficient.
I wouldn't say yet proficient, because that is the last term I have to use right now, because I'm still a learning guy in this sport. The swim is something very, 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 very technique-oriented sport. I made a significant improvement in the last 4 years. One of the things that was holding me and took me so long to start a triathlon was when I want to do a triathlon was 2009, but then I couldn't really pursue triathlon because swimming was holding me, and I thought water is such a tough thing. I cannot learn this sport. It's really technique. I can get sick. All kind of scary thing was going on in my mind. Finally, it took me a couple of years to decide. At 2011, end of 2011, I would say, when I decided to start swimming and made a bold decision to take a swim coach, and I started triathlon training then.
Go ahead. I was going to say, can you remember your first triathlon race that you did?
Yes, it was 2012 July. I think it's 13th, I guess, a sprint triathlon where I swam like 700 meters in 14 minutes, I think. Yeah, that was my first triathlon in 2012.
That's incredible. You're giving the rest of us hope. Do you know that?
Sorry?
I say you're giving the rest of us hope listening to this. I mean, you talk about that first one and how far you've come. It's incredible.
I mean, yes, it is challenging to start, but I see that anybody can do this sport very easily. It's a matter of mind over matter.
So with the time that you put in on the swim, you said you went and found a swim coach, but I mentioned that I read that you were swimming twice a day. That was obviously a decision, and it speaks a lot to your work ethic that you had made the decision you were going to do this, and that just means you have to do the work.
You definitely have to do a work. The biggest part, and I also think that is my positive character, is I am a little bit of stubborn. When I want to learn something new, I put my whole mind. And I also want to, I mean, I don't know whether it's good or bad. I want to learn it quickly. That was my mindset back then. That's the reason I was spending so much time in the pool, like morning and evening.
I love that. The step up from a sprint triathlon to an Ironman distance triathlon is huge, and it freaks a lot of people out. They think there's no ways, especially after that first one. It's scary. I mean, that first swim that you do and you get kicked and you get punched, and if you after that think, gee, I've got to go and do what if I'm going to do an Ironman? Can you remember when you made the decision to do your first Ironman and the thought process that went into that?
The decision that I made for my first Ironman, I still can think it feels like it just happened yesterday. It is the same time frame now, like November and December, when I made my decision in 2012 to do an Ironman. It's in the same time. So how it began was, this November season, we have something called indoor cycling classes in Newburyport, which is near to my home here. And I was attending a class on Saturday. And after the classes, we all get together and sit in a coffee shop and talk to each other and how the triathlon was going on and stuff like that. And a friend of mine sitting next to me talks about his Ironman career, and all of a sudden he says, "Hey, Subbu, I have a slot for you for Ironman for 2013. I can definitely get you a slot. You want to do it?" And came home, was thinking so long, and all of a sudden this guy booked a slot for me, like without giving me any pre-notice. And I said, "Uh-oh, there is no way now I can come out of this. All right, I gave a word. Now I have to book a slot. I mean, book it for it." That's how my first Ironman began. I did not made my mind until my 2012 end of November.
Do you think it's sometimes it's best to just do that? That you almost go into it blind, where you don't really you don't want to overthink it, because sometimes you get that paralysis by analysis. If you think about it too hard, you just want to commit and then do the work.
You may do it. Sometimes it's wise, sometimes it's not wise. I mean, I would definitely encourage any youngsters that is first coming into triathlon to give a shot for a short distance, figure it out where you stand, understand what's your potential. Definitely the first attempt of Ironman, you can give a shot and see if you really qualify to do. I'm not saying qualify, or it's something that is really interesting for you and you can spend a lot of time training. You can give a shot. After your first Ironman, then you can make a decision whether you want to be your fit into that short distance guy or a long distance guy, and then pursue your life to continue long distance. That's what I would say.
I'm taking it in your experience, you figured out that you like the long stuff?
No, I am a long endurance guy. I would say I can handle long distance much better than the short distance. Maybe I did not spend much time training for a short distance, but even then, I would say I can manage some extent the pacing very well in for long distance than short distance.
Subu, when did you realize you were actually pretty good at this?
When I realized,
how long into your career did you go? I mean, was it that first Ironman that you did that you thought, you know what, I'm actually good at this and I'm going to invest more time and try and get faster? When did you realize you had some talent?
I did not see that I'm good, because if I would have said I'm good, I would have stopped long time back. I mean, I wouldn't have pursued learning. I pursued in such a way that I want to do much better, because I thought that I did not do good. So that's how I ended up doing the next Ironman. And I felt like, I can do even much better going more training. So my first Ironman ended up being self-coaching. The next few Ironmans became with a coach. I found like my potential was really great. I can do much better with the coaching. So that's how I kept getting better and better. And I felt like I can do much better. And my interest was keep getting more and more into it.
Talk to me about that first Ironman, and particularly the process during the race and how hard it is. Was it harder than you thought it was going to be? Was it easier than you thought it was going to be? And describe to me the feeling of finishing your first Ironman.
First Ironman, I would always say it's very, very special for me. I mean, it is where things all changed my life, I would say. When I did my, I certainly knew that I can finish the race. I don't know why that high confidence I have. Maybe it's overconfidence, I would say. But I see that endurance sports is definitely finishable, but I certainly felt it very hard, because I did not know how to pace on the bike. And there are points where time where my mind was drifting with not paying attention how to take a nutrition. So I literally bonked in the race. I bonked in the race because the couple of things went wrong. I did not learn the course very well. In my second loop of the bike, I didn't know where to stop to get the special needs for nutrition. So I ended up missing to take my special needs, where I had two bottles of my special nutrition. I couldn't take it. And by the time I hit 90 miles, I was completely out of nutrition and I was drinking on-course food. Back then I did not know all the nutrition concept. Those drinks were too much sugary and my body did not absorb them. After 90 miles, I totally bonked. It was a struggle. And I came up, finished the bike. I sat into my transition, T2. and I took a nap. I would say like that. I mean, because it took almost 10 minutes for me to get over that bonking. And then I paced myself a run a little bit slower than I generally trained with. So, yeah, that was a big learning curve in my career of Ironman. And since then, I don't forget to forget my special needs. Even if it is a 30-second stop to pick up my nutrition, I don't mind. I stop and pick up my special needs and I go. Yeah, it was a great, great experience for me. And a lot of learning things came into picture. And I also said, yes, definitely if I get coached with somebody, I can do much better. I felt like that.
Describe the feeling of going down that finish and crossing the finish line on your first one.
Back then, Lake Placid race was really, really special and famous to everyone in the northeast of America, and it's being special for me even today because it qualified for Mikona. Coming into that oval and the oval, the people are so crowded, the energy is so high. I can still think about it. Crossing that finish line in the daylight, people were all shouting your number and name, some people who knows you. It was incredible. I was so happy that I was crossing that finish line.
So
I was really, really happy.
You've obviously improved a lot since that first one. What was your, can you remember what your finishing time was on that first one?
I remember every Ironman that I finished till now. My first Ironman was 10:58.
Right. Gee, I mean, that's incredible. To go under 11 in your first is fantastic. You've obviously, you've gone a lot faster since then, but you obviously have the ability. How soon after that first one did you think, I want to do that again?
It did not take much longer. I came back home. Within a week, I signed up for Mont Tremblant on the race. I mean to say two weeks or 3 weeks after that was a Mont Tremblant race, which was second time being held in that place. And sorry, there is some noise coming up. I just want to shut it down so that we can talk easily.
No worries.
Yeah. So not that long ago, after finished Lake Placid, I ended up signing the Mont Tremblant race. It took me only a week to decide.
I love that. And when did Kona first sort of pop up on your radar where you thought, you know what, maybe I should try and see if I can qualify for that thing?
The Kona was there in my mind the day when I finished Ironman Lake Placid. I mean to say, that was one of the race which I watched on the television, which inspired me to go behind Chase Ironman race. I admit that. I saw that on the television. I saw these people not only physically challenged people finishing it. There were some people senior citizen people crossing those finishing line and beating their chest. Inspired me every bit, like saying, when these people can do it, I definitely can do it. And then I put my mind back then itself, I want to do Kona. Definitely that was there from the day one I started Ironman training.
So what's the thing you're most proud of when it comes to your triathlon career right now?
What I am more proud of? I am more proud about being around the first Indian who was born in India, brought up and coming up into the States, training hard, going into the corner as the first Indian. That makes me really feel proud about triathlon for me.
I love that. I know a guy, and I'm going to call him out here because I'm going to put some pressure on him. He's a guy that I know from South Africa. He's from Angola, a guy by the name of Miguel. and he spends a lot of time in obviously in Angola, but racing in Europe as well, and he's working so hard to try and become the first Angolan to qualify and race on the big islands, and it'll happen. But obviously it does take a lot of work and dedication. If you could go back and tell Subu, who's starting out in his Ironman career, knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself? What would you do differently? What would you spend more time working on?
I would tell whoever trains in the triathlon want to go to Kona, if you are a triathlete, don't see each discipline as different. See everything as one. First thing is, triathlon is a race of three disciplines, but if you want to be in the Kona, you should be good in all three. So think that you are spending time equally, reasonably in all three, and make sure that everything, when you do a swim, think like you are a swimmer. When you are a cycling, you think like a cyclist. When you are running, think like a runner, marathon runner. Yeah, but when you put it together, think as one sport and make sure you focus very well in everything you do. That's what I would say.
Out of the three disciplines, which is your strongest?
My strongest is, I would say, equally bike and run. They both are same. Bike and run are same for me. Swim is the weakest part.
As a triathlete, that's a nice problem to have, having an equal run and bike, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Somewhat I feel lucky to have an equal balance between the two. But having said that, I still train a lot on the cycling. My run training is really, really low, but intensity-wise is high. That is the one thing which made a big difference in last year run for a triathlon for me.
So as far as work goes, I know you work a full day. What do you do for a living, and how do you juggle the demands of training for three sports essentially and working full time?
Definitely, it's a challenge for me, balancing work, home at the same time, or triathlon training. No, I work from home, that gives me a big advantage. At times, saving my time in commute and spend my time on training a little bit, that is the added advantage for me. Having said that, I still go early, finish off my training, and that also helps me out to focus on my work and get off the work early in the evening, like 5:30, and start my training again. Sometimes I take a lunch breaks and sacrifice my lunch time, long lunch. Instead, I just go for a run or a short spin if there is. That's what allocated in my training. But mostly my afternoon goes for a run and then come back and eat my lunch. That is the leading lunch is about 10 minutes for me. That's it.
So I'm going to ask you a question here because this is something that I struggle with, and I work from home. But I often find myself, I mean, you talk about shutting up and going out and training at let's say 5:30. I find it really difficult to stop working when I need to stop working. Is that something that you struggle with? I mean, I tend to, if I'm working, before I know it, it's 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. and I'm still in front of my computer. It's not ideal, but the discipline to be able to switch off and go, you know what, that's my work day done. I'm done. I'm going to go training. How do you balance that?
Yeah, I can sometimes when I have a call with a team or my manager or any colleagues or friends, it's difficult to shut off. For the most part, my calls or the meeting won't be happening after 5, so it's easy to shut off. However, having said that, I come back at work after 8 o'clock after my supper in the day. So that kind of balances out for me. to do extra work after my, if I can't work after 5 o'clock. So definitely it is at 8 o'clock when, or 8:30 that I start till bedtime, 10 o'clock.
All right. Tell me about your experience on the Big Island in 2016. Obviously first visit this year. Was it harder than you thought it was going to be? Was it exactly what you thought it was going to be? How did things pan out on the day for you?
Brad, to be honest with you, when I landed on the Big Island, my first thing was to enjoy the race as much as possible. Being the first timer, I want to learn about the course and I want to see what it can offer me in terms of swim, bike or run. And I mean, basically I took it like a learning curve this time, understanding the whole course nature. People talk about wind, heat and waves in the water, all those things they talk about it. So when I landed in the Big Island, first thing I took was, I calmed my mind a little bit easy, but there was some pressure for me being the first Indian to be doing this race. I wanted to finish successfully and strong this race. That's all was going on in my mind for the most part. And being in the island was itself a great thing for me. I saw these people training every day in the morning. I took their energy as like, oh, I'm going to compete with this best people. I felt really proud being there. I enjoyed every bit of it. And also on the island is kind of a vacational place. It helped me relaxing more also at the same time.
Fantastic. And as far as the race itself, I mean, is it as hard as people say it is?
It is harder than any race that I did, definitely. Having said that, because they put so much, all the experienced people put on your mind so much, the race going to be hard. And you definitely expect to be hard. So you already prepared your mind to be hard. There was no point in worrying so much for me. There were some technical issues that happened to me in the race, so that took away my fun, I would say. But definitely it is a hard race, harder race than anything that I did, because I don't do good in the wind. That is my problem. As soon as I hit 28 miles in the bike, the wind started picking up. I couldn't really deal with that wind very much. Climbing up the Javi, it was a tough race. All the way to the Javi, I couldn't wait to return back, thinking that the wind can settle down, I'll have a tailwind. That's what I thought, but it was a hard race. And while coming back from Javi, my front derailleur was not shifting at all because my battery died, and I was coming in the chain ring totally easy, lost my time while coming back. There, it was so hot that I was drinking so much water and totally forgot about how I am taking my nutrition. And by the time I came back into transition, I felt like I lost significant time on my bike because of small chain ring and spinning high cadence. My heart rate was a little bit higher at some moment, which tired my heart, and my run kind of impacted a little bit in the first few miles, where I always do sub-7 mile run, but ended up doing like 7:15, 7:30 pace. So yeah, it kind of tough. And the toughest part of the Kona was the Queen K. Oh, it was so hot, and I cannot believe that heat coming out from the, wow, I mean, the black rocks and the pavement. At the same time, the rolling hills did not do any better in that place. I was sweating too much. At the same time, I was also feeling very hot. Overall, it was I slowed down my pace and I just wanted to finish. I calmed myself and I just took as a learning experience and I wanted to go back. That's what I said.
I was going to ask. I asked you about your first one. How long after that race did you decide you wanted to do that again? How long after finishing Kona did you decide you want to go back and race again?
The very next moment, like I finished the, I crossed the finish line. I said, yeah, I wanted to come back and at least do better than what I did. I want to redeem some extent where I went wrong, did things wrong.
Looking back at your triathlon career as it stands right now, there's still lots to go. You're still young. What's been your biggest disappointment and what have you learned from it?
The biggest disappointment is the Kona thing, the bike car. I being so dumb, focused into so much into recovery and totally forgetting about charging my battery. That's what I made a biggest mistake in the triathlon. And the other thing that I, biggest thing I did was I said the first Ironman, I did not I did not do very good in nutrition. That was my learning curve. So those are the two things, biggest learning or disappointment thing that I did in my career.
Well, Subbu, I'm going to chat to you about the various disciplines, the swim, the bike, and the run, as well as dig more in depth into your nutrition. But we'll save that for next time out. Thanks for your time today on the Kona Edge. Much appreciated.
Oh, thank you, Brad. Nice talking to you. It was a pleasure.
Hello?
Hi, Jenny.
Yeah, speaking.
Jenny, it's Brad Brown from the Kona Edge. Are you well?
Oh, hello. I'm good, thank you. Yeah, how are you?
Very, very good.
I'm busy on the massage table at the moment.
Oh. Well,
I wasn't sure who the call was, but I'm very accurate, but it's fine. So if I scream, it's because I'm getting better.
Well, Jenny, I'm phoning with some good news, and you are allowed to scream. You entered to win the Ironman entry, and I'm phoning to tell you that we're paying for your Ironman.
Oh, my word. I will scream. Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, my God, that's amazing. Thank you so much. So, oh, I'm going to cry.
No, don't. Just, I'm doing it. It's on.
Wow.
Your name popped out of the lucky draw, and I know you're chasing Kona. So we're doing it on one condition.
Yeah.
You make that slot. So there's no pressure now, but you have to do it.
Oh, wow. Oh, my word. I'm so happy. That's so kind of you. Thank you so much.
Cool. Jenny, what I'm going to do is I'll pop you an email just to get your bank details, and then we'll just transfer the cash if that's cool.
Oh, my God, that's amazing. Wow, Christmas has come early.
Cool. All righty.
Cool. Oh, thank you so much.
No
okay.
worries. And if it's cool with you, I recorded that bit. Can I use it on the podcast?
Yes, I guess so.
You can. Cool. You can say no. I don't mind. It'll just make for good. It'll make for good radio.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. Good for it.
Cool. Awesome stuff. Well, Jenny, we'll chat soon. I'll pop you a mail this afternoon, and as soon as you get that stuff to me, we'll sort it out.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay.
Cool. No worries.
Then.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. And that's it. Congratulations. If you entered, once again, hard luck if you didn't win, but thank you for taking the time to enter. The response was incredible. You can enter the next one. All you have to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/win. It's as simple as that. And we look forward to paying for your entry next year. So go check it out, thekonaedge.com/win. Until next time, from myself, Brad Brown, thank you so much for listening. Cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for The Kona Edge.